We'd like to read now from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. The Word of God says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. Whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer, or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation. The word comfort is the main subject that's on my heart today. In this passage of Scripture, the word comfort and the word consolation, those two words are used, and they come from the exact same Greek word. The word comfort and the word consolation means exactly the same thing. And that subject is mentioned 10 times in the verses 3-7. The word comfort or consolation. The word comfort means to ease the grief or sorrow of someone, to console or to cheer up and to encourage. And I believe with all of my heart that there are many times in our lives that we need to be comforted. We need to feel the comfort of God because God is the God of all comfort. Doesn't matter who might come to you and try to comfort you, without the help of God, they cannot comfort you. God is the God of all comfort, and God by Himself, through His Word and through His Spirit, God often comforts His people. Jesus makes this statement in the Sermon on the Mount. He says, "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." The prophet Isaiah declared that when Christ came, that He would come to comfort those that mourn. He would come and He would rebuke those that were walking contrary to His Word, but those that were mourning because of sin in their lives, those that were mourning because of various kinds of sorrow and afflictions in their lives, that God would come and comfort them. In fact, the main name that is given to the Holy Spirit is what? He is called the Comforter. So God is the God of all comfort, and God does comfort His people. And the Apostle Paul, as he's writing to the saints at Corinth, he says, "Now you are suffering various kinds of afflictions. You are doing things that are right in the sight of God, and because of those things that you're doing that are right, you are suffering afflictions." But he says, God will comfort you in those afflictions. God will come and help you amidst all of your afflictions. So it doesn't matter whether we're having physical problems, sicknesses, or other kinds of trouble. It doesn't matter whether we're being persecuted or whether we have various kinds of afflictions in our lives. God is able and the only one that is always able to comfort us. He is the only one that is able to ease the grief and the sorrow, and not just ease the grief and the sorrow, but actually to come and help and encourage us no matter what our problems are. So God is the God of all comfort. He does come and comfort us by His Holy Spirit. He comes and He comforts us through His people. Now, another way besides comforting us through other people, another way that God comforts us is through His Holy Word. I don't know of any passage of Scripture that is used for comfort any more than one passage that I'm thinking about right now. And it's read at funerals, and it's read when people are having all kinds of trouble and problems. But there are many passages of Scripture that are the focus of that Scripture is to comfort the people of God. And so the Scriptures are given the Word of God, the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, inspired men to write the Word of God. God, this is the Word of God, and the Word of God is given, among other things, it's given to comfort the people of God. Look at Romans chapter 15, and listen please to verses 4, 5, and 6. Remember now that another word for comfort that is used almost as many times in 2 Corinthians 1, 4 through 7, another word that is used in the Scriptures that means the identical same thing as comfort is consolation. Consolation and comfort mean the exact same thing. The Scripture says in Romans 15 and verse 4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime, I want to ask you this, what Scriptures did the people of God have while they were living in the New Testament? What Scriptures did they have? They had the Old Testament. And so it is that Paul here is referring back to the Old Testament, and he tells us that there are many things that were written aforetime, that is the Old Testament, that were written for our learning. That we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. One of the things the Word of God has given us the Scriptures for is to comfort us. And we need to understand that whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. We have assurance because of reading and studying the Word of God. We have peace. We have comfort. We have patience. Patience and comfort come from the Scriptures, the Word of God. The God of patience and consolation or comfort grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. Now, that same truth is taught over there in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, that God is the God of all comfort, that God has comforted us, and we are to what? We're to go and to comfort other people. We're to comfort our brethren. And now the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 15 again is saying very similar words to the saints of God at Corinth, when he says that whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one to another, that we're to be comforting one another. Verse 6, he says, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We glorify God by comforting one another. God has comforted us, and we are to comfort one another. The Word of God tells us that we are to be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath what? God has forgiven us, therefore we are to forgive one another. The Scripture tells us that because God loves us, we are to, fill in the blank, love one another. And now the Scripture says that God comforts us, and we are to comfort one another. So we are to forgive one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven us. We are to love one another, even as God has loved us. And we are to comfort one another, even as God has comforted us. We're to be like-minded. We're to have the mind of Christ. We're to want to comfort one another. And that doesn't just mean in the death of loved ones, and it doesn't just mean when people are sick. There are many different things that cause heartache and anguish in the lives of the people of God. And we need to be conscious of their needs, and we need to be comforting them. Let me emphasize that the comforting is not to be done to people that are walking willfully contrary to the Word of God. That is not what God tells us to comfort people, or when God tells us to comfort them, but rather we are to comfort them when they are mourning. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. I love to go to people that are sick and afflicted. I remember the first time that I ever went into a hospital to visit someone after I was ordained. And as I went there, the lady was 97 years old. She had fallen and broken her hip. And I had had prayer with her and visited with her. And I started to leave. And you know what she said? She said, "Brother Mullis, before you leave, would you please read the 91st Psalm to me?" That's the greatest psalm. Now, you don't have to turn there. We're not going to read there. I just want you to know, she knew that that psalm was full of words of comfort. And there have been many times I've been with other people that they would say, "Please read this passage or that passage of Scripture," because they knew what Paul said when he says that God has given us the Scriptures that we might be comforted by the Scriptures, the Word of God. This past week, in visiting with Brother Mike did something that another lady in a nursing home in Columbus did. This lady in Columbus, she didn't ever like for you to leave, and so she would talk as long as she could, or as long as you would listen, or as long as you were there. She would keep talking and talking, and then when you'd say, "Well, I've got to go now," she'd say, "Well, let's have a word of prayer." And so then we would hold hands and have a word of prayer. And then when we would finish the prayer, she wouldn't let go of my hand. She would hold on and hold on. And I would say, "I've got to go now, sister, and I've got some other people I need to go visit." And she'd say, "Well, if you must leave, could you at least give me a cup of water? Because the Word of God talks about giving a person a cup of water. And could you do that, please?" And so I would say, "Yes, I'll get you a cup of water." And this was routine every time I went. I would get her a cup of water, and she would take it, and she said, "Now, if you must go, you can, but I want you to know that I sometimes strangle when I'm drinking water, and I ask you not to leave until I finish this glass of water." And so she would take a little sip, and then she would talk, and she would talk and talk and talk until I thought she would go hoarse. And then I would say, "Now, I've got to go now." And she said, "Please don't leave till I finish my water." And she would take another sip of water. And she would do that until she had finally, after maybe 30 minutes, finished her water. And then she would say, "If you don't have time to read the Word of God to me, go ahead and go. But if you've got time to read the Word of God, would you please read the Word of God?" And then she would pick out some of the longest passages of Scripture that there were. And then she would stop and say, "Explain that verse to me," you know. Well, you say to me, "Explain something," and I go on and on and on. So then I would talk. My point is this. Sometimes God's people are starving for some love and affection. Sometimes they are so hungry for somebody to hold on to them and to be with them. And the people of God have that responsibility to comfort those who need to be comforted. And sometimes what they need is just somebody to just sit there with them and hold their hand. Just sit there and let them talk. Just sit there and read them the Word of God. Because the Word of God gives what? The Word of God gives comfort. That's exactly right. And God has comforted us. And we, therefore, because of what God has done for us, we're to comfort one another. Brother Mike, after I had spent a while visiting with him one morning this week and was trying to go out of town on a little honeymoon vacation, I was trying to get away. And he kept doing just like that lady in the nursing home. "Don't leave yet. Don't leave yet." And finally he said, "Before you leave, could you read one passage of Scripture to me?" And I thought, what passage is he going to ask? He said, "Would you read me the book of James?" And so I sat down and I started reading the book of James. And I,
read and read, and I started getting hoarse and losing my voice. I ran out of air to keep reading, but I kept reading and reading, and finally was able to finish the book of James, and then we had prayer, and I was about to leave. And I told him, I said, now when Brother David comes to see you later today, I said, I want you to ask him to read the book of Psalms to you. I mean, who can turn down reading the Word of God to somebody? Can anybody here turn down a request to read God's Word to you? You can't turn down a request to read God's Word. So if you're lonely, you call some brother or sister in the church, and you want them to stay with you a long time, say, would you please read the book of Psalms to me? Because, brethren, the book of Psalms is full of comfort. And I asked earlier, I said, now what one passage in the book of, I didn't say the book of Psalms, but whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. What is the one passage? And Brother David or someone mentioned earlier, Psalm 23, that speaks to us about God being our comforter. The Lord is my shepherd. I'm a little sheep. I need to be comforted. I need for my shepherd to come and comfort me. I need to know that nobody can comfort me if the shepherd doesn't bless them to comfort me. I need to feel the comfort of the shepherd. And so it is, I need to say and learn that psalm, as well as much other of the Word of God, which talks about God comforting His people. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Does that give you comfort to know that God is your shepherd? Does that give you comfort to know you will never go wanting for anything you need? Does that give you are those words of comfort? Absolutely. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. See, the comfort. Comfort, the whole psalm, every verse. Every single verse in Psalm 23. Every one of those verses is full of comfort. Whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. So we have the Word of God. If we need to be comforted, we need to read the Word of God. Songs mean so much to comfort us, don't they? Songs, singing, comforts us. I know that we all need to realize that the Scriptures comfort us and singing comforts us. And I would encourage you to sing. Sing to yourself, but sing. Because in many of the songs, there are great words of comfort for you and for me. Go with me to Isaiah just a moment. Please look in your Bibles at Isaiah chapter 41. I want you to think about this now. Listen carefully. In Isaiah chapter 41, please follow this. I want us to think about God comforting us before we talk about us comforting other people. But I want to think about God comforting us. In Isaiah chapter 40, think about the Word of God here. Remember now, the New Testament says that whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. In Isaiah chapter 40, the Word of God says, comfort ye my people, speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her, that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Gracious goodness, what wonderful words of comfort that is. If you are mourning because of sin in your life, if you're mourning because you recognize and understand that you are a sinner, you need to hear some words of comfort, and here are words of comfort. That God has, the Scripture says here, that your warfare is accomplished, that your iniquity is pardoned and you have received of the Lord's hand double for all your sins. When Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, He saved you from all of your sins. And so it is of every child of God in this building that God has forgiven you of your sins, that Jesus, the Scripture says, thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. And I think that's some of the most wonderful words of comfort that we can ever have, is to know that Jesus paid it all. To know that my sins were forgiven. To know that I was not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold, but I was redeemed with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. That the Father gave His only begotten Son so that I could receive double for all my sins. He washed my sins away. He made me clean. He justified me. The only reason that I will ever be in the eternal heaven is because of the finished work of Jesus Christ. And those are words of comfort to people who don't understand that they've been saved by grace. We need to speak those words of comfort to those that are feeling condemned and convicted and feel like that they're going to go to hell because of their sin. They need to know what Jesus has done for them. And that's what God through Isaiah says, comfort my people. So these are words of comfort about what? These are words of comfort about something in particular. These words are words of comfort about God's children being guilty because of sin. There are other times that we need words of comfort. Sister Gail, I asked her, did she need me to go to Savannah with her to have the surgery done Wednesday, and she said no, it was going to be, quote, minor surgery. They were just going to block some nerves or an ablation on the nerves and try to do that. You know who will be there with her? The Lord will be there with her. And I believe, brethren, that one of the greatest, besides the fact that Jesus has saved us from our sins, one of the greatest passages or words of comfort that we need to give to all of God's children is God is with you. God is with you. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. When we do His good will, He abides with us still to all that will trust and obey. God being with us, brethren, is an important truth that gives us comfort. I'm glad to know that God is with me. Not the Lord was my shepherd, but to know the Lord is my shepherd right now. God is with us. God will be with her next Wednesday. God is with Brother Mike. Brother Mike desired as much, probably more than anybody that's here this morning, Brother Mike desired to be in the house of the Lord today. He wanted to be here, I really believe, more than anybody else that's here today. He's crying because he wants to be in the house of the Lord. But what a marvelous thing it is that as God is here with us, God can be right there with Him to comfort and bless Him. And as God lifts us up and we're able to dwell in the kingdom of heaven here, God is able to bless Him there. God is with us. God is everywhere present and nowhere absent. The Lord is with you. Those are words of comfort. Look at Isaiah 41 and verse 10. He says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. All through the Word of God, we have many words of comfort that talk about God taking care of us. Let me just close in John chapter 14. Please turn in your Bibles very quickly to John chapter 14. As we think about these words of comfort. In John chapter 14, Jesus was about to leave this earth. You remember when Abraham was about to die? You remember when Jacob was about to die? You remember when various people in the Word of God were about to die? Do you remember when King David was about to die? Do you remember what David did when he was about to die? What did David do, King David? He called his son. That's right. He called his son. So many times in the Word of God, when people have been about to die, you know what they did? They would call their sons. They would call their family together. Come here. Come here. Come here. Daddy did that a lot the last 2 or 3 years that he was alive. He would call and say, I need you to come here. Listen, brethren, there are great words of comfort that we can give to people who are dying, but there are also great words of comfort that you, when you are dying, there are great words of comfort that you can give to your family. David did that. John chapter 14, Jesus did that. Jesus was about to be crucified. He knew that he was, and he called his disciples together who loved him very much. He knew how the crucifixion was going to affect them. So here are the words that he said. John chapter 14, verse 1, "You let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Those are some of the most beautiful words of comfort that there are in the entire Word of God. And then he says this in the 15th verse, John 14, verses 15 through 18. He says, "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever." All through this chapter, do you know what Jesus is continuously telling his disciples? "I'm going away, but another comforter is going to come." In fact, he says, "I'm going away, another comforter is going to come, but if you'll keep my commandments, me and the Father will come and dwell with you." Those are great words of comfort. To know that Jesus was not gone, to know that he was there with them even after the crucifixion and the resurrection. May God help us to understand there are great words of comfort in the Word of God that tell us what Jesus has done for us, that tell us what Jesus is doing for us right now, and words of comfort that tell us what Jesus is going to do for us in the future. May God help us to find those words of comfort and rejoice in them and thank God for them is my prayer for Christ's sake.